Insomnia is pretty terrible, isn't it? But on the plus side, three more sleeps till Christmas.
Quite
It's
like that.
funny.
Yeah.
Apologies to any insomnia sufferers that listen to the pod.
Insomniacs.
Maybe insomniacs. Is that what they're called? Insomniacs, I guess it is.
Believe so. I guess it is. Yeah. The delivery, Nate, was sensational.
Oh, thanks, mate. I'm a pro at this now. This is my jam. This is what I
It's only
do.
taken you 100 episodes or whatever it's been
I think
since.
it's more now. I think we're pushing like 120, aren't we? So it's good to know that it takes me 100 repetitions of something to get good at it. It's good to know going forward for future reference in life.
Well, Medellin's got his Google face on, so he's clearly trying to find something out, maybe to check whether or not insomniacs is the correct term. But while he's doing that, I'm going to score your joke, Nate.
Oh, this
And
is
I'm going
good.
to score it a 9.1.
Oh, we're back in the
Ooh,
nines.
liked it. I
That's
liked
good.
it.
That I
It was
wasn't
good.
expecting a nine. I thought maybe be in the eights, but I'll take it. What
Punchy.
we can get into this after the intro. What did I get? I recently did a live joke that the two of you both heard. I believe I got an eight. Is that correct?
That is
Yeah.
correct. Yeah, it was 8 point something, I think. Yeah.
Or
Can't remember
something.
what
So I'm on a bit of a roll. We'll explain that after the intro. Bit of a teaser there for our listeners.
Welcome to another edition of the Pad Talk. You've got us in three different spots today. You've got Medders in Japan, in Tokyo. You've got Nate back home in Medellin. I don't know if I was supposed to give away where you live, but I have now, so there we go.
Well, way to go, mate. Now everyone's going to
Full address, please.
know.
and I'm still in.
Give out my coordinates as well, shall we? To my house. Postcode. Way to go, mate. They call that, what? That's got a name, hasn't it? When you dox someone. That's it. You've just been doxed by Grosso. Jeez. You think you know a guy?
I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry about that.
Mate. I think we've mentioned I live in Reading multiple times.
Yeah, good. Phew. Okay. Well, I'm in Singapore. I do not live in Singapore. I'm just shortly be checking out my room
You're a
and
long
be
way
back
from
shortly.
friendly, aren't you?
Yeah,
See?
I
Both of us can do it. Both of us can do that, mate. Checkmate.
may as well start the show, mate. Yeah, that was a sensational intro. That was my
Has
favorite intros. I think I enjoyed
Wokingham's Chris Medland stopped researching
Yeah,
Insomniacs yet?
I haven't been researching at all. I was looking up Insomniac earlier, but then I wasn't anymore. It's just I think where my call like window was, and I wasn't looking near the camera, so you thought I was frowning away at that. But now I've
Yeah.
realised I'm not actually on the microphone I thought it was on.
Oh no.
Well,
You
this
sound
guy
great
is
either
going
way.
to teach me.
This is life on the road, isn't it? As F1 journalists.
Yeah, I mean, how bad do I sound right now, listeners and
You sound
fellow
great, mate.
hosts? I
Yeah.
think you sound good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fellow Hawks.
Do I sound any different now?
You
Yeah, you sound less good now.
do sound better now,
But I
yeah.
sound better now. No, you sound better, yeah.
Oh, maybe it is working. Who knows?
Who
Who the
knows?
hell?
But I'm glad that we've done our sound test live in the pod. I'm sure you
Yeah.
listeners have enjoyed
Thanks everyone for sticking with us.
that. But why have we had to do that, Lawrence? Why have we had, oh, because we're in a rush. Because we're in a rush because of me. Because I need to leave. Is that what you wanted to drop me in? Drop me
Yeah,
in.
but I'm not dropping you in
Basically,
it. It's understandable.
we're on the clock. I've got to check. Well, I should have checked out already. Got to check out after this little chat. Head to the airport. To come back home because I'm not doing Japan. Chris Medland is doing Japan. Nate Saunders, I believe, is not doing Japan. Is that correct?
No, I mean, if I am, I'm up against it to get there.
I don't know.
Because I'm currently in the Royal County of Berkshire, where I live, and nowhere near Heathrow.
Well, actually, the Royal County of Berkshire is very close to Heathrow, isn't
It is close, but I mean, I'm not even
it?
ready. I'm not even dressed for Suzuka, so no, I'm not. I'm staying home for these. I'm in Qatar, and
I
then
like the
I.
way you've slowly expanded your location. So we now know it's
Yeah.
Reading, but then you were like, no, I'll only tell them it's Berkshire next. Soon you'll say I live in England, and you're meant to do it the other way around. You've already honed
Yeah,
in.
yeah, yeah. Well, I'm trying to like just throw so many names out there, people eventually forget. They're like, wait, he said Berkshire, but where is it? You know, and they're not, you know, they have to go through the episode again and listen. It's to get us more just get us more listens, mate. That's what it's all about.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what normally gets us more listen, Nate, is when we get to hear your 60-second review.
Nice. Let's hear it.
If you've only got 1 minute to spare, wanna know who finished when and where, sit back, relax, cause we got you. Here's Nate with the 60-second review.
Hello everyone, this is Nate, Nate Saunders from the Paddock. This is my review of the Singapore Grand Prix, which features a brand new winner for 2023. How fun. Should we get into it? Spoiler alert, Max didn't win. First position, Carlos Sainz. I mean, I've got to say, pretty damn impressive. Carlos, keep proving idiots like me wrong about you. That would be great. Second position, Lando Norris. He's so good, isn't he? He's right on the cusp of that first win, I think. Third place should have been George Russell, but instead it went to Sir Lewis Hamilton. Fourth position, Charles Leclerc, who suddenly looks like he might not be the best Ferrari driver. Thoughts? Discussion? We can have it, for sure, here on the Paddock. Fifth position, a gentleman's fifth for Max Verstappen. Thanks for keeping it interesting, Max, and Red Bull. Sixth position, love Pierre Gasly. He's there in sixth. Piastri, he's brilliant, isn't he, in seventh. Sergio Perez, yep, he was there in eighth. Liam Lawson, he's looking fantastic. I think AlphaTauri should snap him up for next season. 10th position was Kevin Magnussen. Out of the points was Albon, Joe, Hulkenberg, Sargent. Fernando Alonso had a rough day, didn't he? Russell, I've already mentioned him. Bottas, Ocon, and Tsunoda all retired from the race. Withdrawing from the race was Lance Stroll. What on earth is going on there? He looks like he's in real trouble, doesn't he?
That was quite a serious review.
It was, wasn't it? The banter wasn't flowing when I did that. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. You were under pressure.
But it was a serious review from a serious journalist about a serious race, a seriously good race, I may add.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? I thought it was great. Best race of the year?
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to. I think it's got to be right because the victory was in doubt right until the end. You had multiple drivers who you felt could win it, and it was a surprising result. So I would say definitely. And we've had. I think this year's the quality wise has been pretty poor, race wise. So that this does stand out as the best one.
I'm sorry to Red Bull fans, but it did show that, like, if there wasn't a Red Bull in the race or in the race this year, how competitive would the races be? Like, because we've had battles, haven't we, further down the field, but it doesn't get so exciting when they're fighting for P3. But I thought that the way that the weekend unfolded and the way that Red Bull was struggling and just gave everyone else a shot, I thought it was great. Great storytelling. Netflix must have had a blast.
Definitely. I hope they were following science around. Because I thought I was really impressed with him as hinted at in the review. And Lawrence, I know you know him very well, and we know his trainer Rupert very well as well. I was really impressed. I thought it was the best drive from Sainz by country mile in F1. And it's the sort of drive you would expect from the other Ferrari driver usually. Like, usually we think Charles is the one that does that, and Carlos maybe has a bit of a nightmare and stuff happens to him. But he was fantastic. I was so impressed. And he's doing it at a good time, isn't he? Because he's not yet signed a deal for beyond next year. Is that right? He's got one for next season, but not beyond.
Yeah. He's got one for next season. Wants to get them.
Yeah. Yeah, and Charles, it's weird, isn't it? It's like they've flipped roles since summer break. It's like Charles is like, I'm gonna play like the number two guy for a little bit. Just let Carlos have a go. I do think had Charles been ahead of him in Monza, I don't think they'd let them race. I think the dynamic is still such that Charles is the number one guy. I don't know if you guys agree, but Charles just got pretty unlucky with that pit stop, and then I think his race was kind of ruined from that point. But that wasn't anyone's fault, really. It was just the nature of that stop.
Unless
conspiracy theorists want to say something else.
No, I did agree that Charles had that kind of like almost like number one status before this weekend. But the fact that the strategy they went for was put Charles on softs to make sure he gets ahead of George and then can defend for Carlos, but obviously will be the vulnerable one who then can't really win from there. I thought was a sign that they were like, no, Carlos he's done the job all weekend. He's the most likely winner. And the second car is now the one that we will adapt its strategy to get the win in the league car. So that felt for the first time like it was a very much like Carlos has earned this. Charles, you've got to play second fiddle. Whereas you're right, I think in Monza, it felt like the fact they let them race was great, but it felt like they did that because that way they didn't have to upset Charles at that point and say, no, you sit there behind your teammate. And I'm with you. I wonder if they would have taken a different approach if it had been the other way around then. But maybe this weekend in Singapore shown that they wouldn't have. They'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I think they were really pragmatic in Singapore because I think they honestly came into this weekend and didn't expect to have this kind of pace. I think they still thought they'd be there or thereabouts in qualifying, but they weren't convinced that they would have that kind of edge over Red Bull and then the rest of the field. And because of that, I think they just realised this was their only shot really this year to win a race. And with Carlos in front, and actually Carlos was just good from the first practice session. Like it was his most complete weekend. Completely. And so he hit qualifying, and when he was going for pole, I don't know what you guys think, but I think everyone just believed he could get it. I don't think that's always been the case when he's shown pace and looked quick, but it just looked like he was the best guy and couldn't and should have got pole then. And then in the race, whatever the pressure was, like the fact that he had that kind of headspace to go, you know, when they came on team radio and they're like, you've dropped into DRS, and he was like, well, yeah, obviously I have, because that's what I'm doing. Like I've been
it's on purpose.
Yeah. And I thought that was really, I thought A, he had that headspace. B, it's interesting that the team hadn't clocked that he had that headspace. And like,
yeah,
I thought that was interesting because he is that kind of guy, like you said right at the beginning, mate. He's that just really think, he's a thinker, isn't he? Very intelligent.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. So absolutely. I thought it was classic Ferrari comms, wasn't it? They're like, just Carlos, by the way, Lando's catching him. He's like, yeah, guys, don't just leave it to me. I'm a driver. You know, I'll win us the race now. Just you guys sit there and just watch this. That was quite telling, but yeah, I agree with you, mate. Did you play squash with him this weekend?
I did play squash. I had burgers with him ahead of the weekend.
Okay, so we need to work out what you did before Singapore and Monza with Carlos, because usually you play like usually there's squash involved. I wonder if when you play squash with him, you wear him out mentally. He gets into qualifying, and he's a bit drained. I think as much fun as he has, he's there like, oh, you know what? he's coming into Q3, the final lap, and he's lacking something. And he left it on the court with you. He didn't leave it on the racetrack. But the juices of the burger were still flowing in Q3. And he was like, you know what? I've got a little bit left in me. A little bit of my mental prowess is here. So I'm not saying squash is to blame, Lawrence, but you're ruining
your career
every time you play him.
So, yeah, I think the burger makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because you need the extra calories because you're going to burn a lot during that race. So instead of him being in deficit because he played squash and being fit, he went for fat with the burger and it worked.
And his body's burning, especially at Singapore. Yeah. Body's just churning through that. Like, yes.
And then he's got loads of extra capacity to think about things. In fact, he's probably thinking about the burger at times during that race. Probably thinking about you.
Yeah, he's probably
feeling like you've been seeing the nemesis.
In racing games, you'd have the ghost car. He just had a ghost burger in front of him. He's just following it around the racetrack, like driving as fast as he can. Like want to have more burger with Lawrence. So really, what I'm saying is, Lawrence, you deserve as much credit than Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, congratulations, mate. Well done.
Yeah, well done. Hope
thanks,
some of the
guys. Thanks, guys. Very kind. Very kind.
No, it was great. And what was great about the way the race played out as well was that I think all four of those drivers could have probably won the race for about five laps. You felt like, you know, Sainz could have made a mistake and Lando could have won. You know, the Mercedes drivers could have taken each other out and Sainz, you know, could have still won it. There could have been a collision between Russell and Lando that like let Lewis in. That was really good. And it's been a while since, I think, like, I'm just trying to remember the time there's been, like, the last time we had a race where it was that open between so many drivers at a race. I think I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. Maybe I'm missing an obvious example, but it reminded me of Silverstone last year. Again, weirdly, another race that Sainz won. But the difference with that was there was about seven people all fighting for second. It wasn't for the win. You remember when, like, through goes Hamilton, that famous bit of commentary? That was Charles, Perez, and Lewis. Max was a bit further back, but Carlos in that instance was way out in front, so it wasn't the fight for the win. I couldn't think of anything where there's been a fight for the win. It's been multiple cars, so I loved it. I thought it was really
good. Also in that race at Silverstone, it was because Ferrari got Charles' strategy wrong.
That's right.
Carlos got ahead, ironically, wasn't it? So it's a completely different way of winning. But do you remember when Kimi won in Austin? I seem to remember.
Yes.
I think this is his last win for Ferrari. I know that was a long, long time ago. And
no, that's a great call. 2018. Lewis won the championship as well, didn't he, by finishing?
Yeah. Are you there? I remember, I think it was sat next to you, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember that being like an incredible, like you didn't quite know how it's going to pan out kind of thing.
Yes.
But and the beauty of that is for this year is there were three teams, right? So we've got Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes.
Mm.
And like you said, they all did slightly different things. McLaren bought this upgrade package. Merck saved that set of medium tyres. Ferrari were just genuinely quick here. So Formula One in 2023 really is about so many different variables. It's not just about whether or not you've got a quick car. So I think that sets it up nicely for a point in time when everyone does clock why there is such a deficit to Red Bull. It looks like at the moment, doesn't it, the McLaren have got it, like they're on the right path. And they are hunting them down. This is yet another upgrade. I was hearing numbers of like 0.4, 0.5 seconds per step.
Wow.
From, you know, and that's, which we won't really see here because of the nature of the circuit. I think it'll become clearer in the next time out
for the season.
Japan. But it's great.
No, the season's great already done. Sorry, mate. I keep cutting you off because of our silly lag. Great for 2024 as well. Because if they're cutting the gap now, you hope that carries into next year.
Yeah, totally. I think so. And because it is very much an evolution, isn't it, of rules. I know some teams are going to maybe take a revolutionary approach, but that might be because they've got to go and take the Red Bull kind of design pathway. The team should be, they've clocked it, should be shutting the gap gradually going forward. So yeah, like you said, might be a better ending of the year for Red Bull. I think it's maybe, I was looking at Vegas as maybe another shot of some others having a go, but the rest of them, I think probably it's just a matter of time before Red Bull win. But I don't know. Let's see. I'll try and be a bit more optimistic.
Yeah, so
can't be more optimistic.
A quick side note here, because listeners can't see, obviously, they can only listen. There's a reason that it's just me and Lawrence talking at the moment, because Medlin's currently giving us an inverted tour of his hotel room because he's looking for an adapter. By the look on his face, I'm guessing.
There's no plug anywhere, and my laptop is about to die, and there's not a single plug.
I've got to go run grab my charger in a sec, even. This is a nightmare.
This is genuinely about to die on us. This is huge jeopardy, but I can't find a single plug.
Can you unplug the telly?
No, because the way that the plugs are under the telly, you can't fit an adapter and a Mac charger. It doesn't fit.
The phone?
Oh, no.
No, those plugs, there's only one plug that will fit in an adapter, and there's not space to put the adapter in it, so... That's why I'm running around the room. Seriously, that's like nowhere to plug it in.
There's real jeopardy here, guys, to the extent where we might have to just call it.
Yeah, I feel like that's the safest bet. For the posterity of the pod, let's rap. And not rap like that, because that would take forever. Rap with a W. Barreto, lead us out, and then we'll save the pod and hopefully save Medlin's mental health, because he looks like he's gonna lose it.
And I don't want him to do that. And, you know, we could just let him have a great night out in Tokyo and kind of give him an early finish. We like, we'll have plenty more from you, Medlin, in the next pod. Well, of course, we haven't even covered off the massive story of this month.
This is going to be a wedding.
Medlin wedding.
Which was fantastic. We'll do that next week after Suzuka. We'll save it all up. Bottle all the stories.
We don't want to rush it, do we? So we'll do a bumper episode next week when we're all back in the United Kingdom.
This is ridiculous. Absolutely. I'm just legging it around. I can't genuinely not assume.
Mate, I feel dizzy. I'm dizzy watching Medlin scream.
I feel a bit sick. So we've got to call it that.
I'm about to pass out.
It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. Nate, I loved your joke today. I've loved your story. Medlin is now sitting on the floor, lying on the floor, like in some sort of weird model pose.
I've got 2%. You better be quick.
All right. Well, Medlin, you can read your work on race.com, Nate's work on EFN.com, and you can follow us at the paddock across social channels. We'll do this again, we promise, next week.
Bye.
I contributed a lot today.